Hi there, my name's Damien Rowland. I'm a paediatric emergency medicine consultant who works in Leicester, and I'm here with Professor Tim Coates. We're both part of the Emergency Medicine Academic Group here at Leicester Hospitals and Leicester University. Tim's just written an editorial on tranexamic acid, and he's come up with some really interesting ideas and thoughts, which we thought we would share so that you can read this alongside the paper. Tranexamic acid actually has quite an interesting history. You made some comments on that.
Yes, it's actually really quite an old drug. It was developed in the 1950s by a really quite interesting Japanese husband and wife team, Shosuke and Utako Okamoto, who were working in a laboratory there and discovered this the antifibrinolytic properties of tranexamic acid. Yeah, so it was used for a while, but then sort of gradually fell out of favour as more powerful antifibrinolytics came along and became used in medicine. So really, by the 1990s, tranexamic acid was hardly ever used. There was just one manufacturer, and they were only still manufacturing the drug because they are forced to manufacture if they're the only site factory that's making it under something called orphan drug laws. So a drug that had really fallen out of use.
And like much kind of great innovation, I suppose ideas come from random conversations or ideas, and it does appear that a cup of coffee may have been the linchpin of tranexamic acid's new role.
Yeah, maybe I should be studying the place of coffee in medical research. But I was sitting on the helipad at the Royal London one day talking with Charles Deakin, who was a fellow registrar in the London HEM system at the time. He'd just been doing cardiac anaesthesia. I'd just been doing cardiac surgery. And we were talking about, you know, how we manage those patients and the fact that every patient that went on a pump got given a dose of antifibrinolytic to stop bleeding after the surgery. And we were just, you know, chatting about this and wondering why we didn't do the same thing to our multiple injury patients who also had lots of bleeding after their injury. So with the involvement of, you know, of a whole bunch more people and a big international collaboration and loads of people putting loads of work into it, this then became the CRASH II trial, which in 2010 gave us definitive evidence that tranexamic acid decreased mortality in patients with bleeding after trauma.
And so, and kind of a new journey has been born, especially in kind of trauma and emergency care. What's been interesting, though, is that has prompted a lot of debate. And what is the true role of tranexamic acid, and in which patients should it be used in? Especially on social media, I've heard lots of kind of pros and cons for this. And you make some really interesting points about it's almost like a boom and bust. A drug comes out, everyone thinks it's brilliant, and then we go through a phase where maybe not so much. You ascribe that to kind of poor clinicians' use of generalizability of evidence.
Yeah, I think some of that sort of cycle is driven by the drug companies. And of course, a new drug has got very little in the way of side effects because you just haven't given it for long enough to find the side effects. So that's part of the reason why drugs go through this. It's absolutely great, then you discover the side effects, and then it's absolutely terrible, and then you go on to, well, in the right patients at the right time, it should be used. There's also something I think about the way that we teach evidence-based medicine, in that we have a real focus on critical appraisal, but we don't really talk that much about generalizability. And that's absolutely key for an emergency physician to be able to, yes, read a paper and know whether it's any good or not, but that, how does this apply to my practice, is a key piece of decision making that perhaps we're not very good at teaching.
And then you follow this up, and I found this really interesting. So is it possible that we go into managing some patients with the wrong mindset if we've not read the evidence correctly and we misapply it?
It's interesting. I often at conferences ask for a show of hands from the audience, how many people here use tranexamic acid in trauma? And you know, lots of people put their hands up, and most of them are very proud to tell me, yes, we've got it into our massive transfusion protocol. So, you know, any patient that's severely bleeding, we're definitely going to be giving it because it's in that protocol. And I think that's absolutely wrong in their interpretation of that evidence. because having tranexamic acid in a massive transfusion protocol isn't what's been tested. That's never been the subject of a clinical trial. What was tested, for example, in the CRASH II trial, was giving tranexamic acid early on to patients that were either significantly bleeding or at risk of significantly bleeding. So I think what we're doing, or what a lot of people are doing, is taking that evidence and generalizing it in the wrong way and saying, right, we put it into massive transfusion protocols. Massive transfusion protocols kick in, you know, after the patient has had a significant amount of bleeding. So it's sort of later on in the patient's journey. And if you're giving tranexamic acid later on as part of your massive transfusion, actually you've missed the boat. You should be giving it earlier, right up at the beginning, either in the pre-hospital phase or as soon as the patient gets to the emergency department, in the patients that you suspect might be at risk of bleeding.
Excellent. That's really good insight and advice. So where do we go now over the next 5 years? What studies do you think are going to change where we the use of patients in different conditions, or kind of the use of the drug in maybe different areas outside of emergency medicine?
So there's been an explosion in the use of tranexamic acid and the number of trials that are going on of the drug, because, you know, people have thought, well, okay, if it works in trauma, what about other conditions associated with bleeding? And in fact, there are so many trials going on, one of the research funders has almost said informally, please don't send us any more tranexamic acid trials. So there's reasonable evidence now that in lots of forms of cold surgery associated with bleeding, orthopedic surgery, liver surgery, and of course cardiac surgery, that giving an antifibrinolytic decreases the amount of post-operative bleeding. There's a number of trials going on in acute care. The HALT-IT trial is going on in gastrointestinal bleeding. If you're looking for a trial to get involved in to start off with research, HALT-IT is a great one to be signing up to. The CRASH III trial is going on at the moment, looking at patients with head injury and a GCS less than 9 in the first 3 hours after injury. One I'm excited about is the WOMAN trial, which is going on in mainly the developing world, but looking at tranexamic acid for postpartum hemorrhage, a huge cause of maternal mortality in the developing world. And there's an emergency medicine trial in the UK in epistaxis in preparation that's been funded, called the NOPAC trial, which you might well be hearing more about over the next couple of years. So there's a lot of new evidence that's going to come in probably in the next 2 to 3 years.
Excellent. So thanks very much, Jim. Have you got any kind of final words or kind of closing comments?
I guess the decision about tranexamic acid use at the moment, you know, there are some conditions where tranexamic acid is definitely a benefit to the patient, and if you're giving it, you should be giving it early. There's another bunch of conditions where we really don't know. We think it might well be of benefit, but clinical trials are going on, and there clinicians really ought to be getting involved in randomizing those patients to the clinical trials. But I think at the moment, the blanket use of tranexamic acid later on in massive hemorrhage protocols is probably a misinterpretation of the evidence that's out there.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time, and hopefully we'll be back again soon for other conversations and debate about current evidence in emergency care. Thank you very much.
Thank you.